welcome to the program, The Spirituality of the Catholic Church, as Father Paul Keenan teaches on God and man and the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And now, Father Paul Keenan.
I'm Father Paul Keenan. I'm Assistant Director of the Office of Communications of the Archdiocese of New York, and it's a wonderful pleasure to be with you once again to talk about the spirituality of the Catholic Church as it is shown to us in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. We are in the second section of the Catechism these days, talking about the worship of the Church. And remember, I said that really there's not going to be anything very new here from what we said in the first section. And what I meant by that was we're not really dealing with new truth in this part of the Catechism, but we're dealing with the way in which the truths that we saw in our first part of the Catechism, how they're celebrated. Now, we in this interesting day and age are very familiar with something called time-release medicine. And basically, when we have a very bad cold or something like that, we may take our medicine and have it all at once and take doses at different times, or we might take time-release medicine, which means that we take the medication maybe once a day, and then gradually, as it's needed, the medication will release into our systems and go to work, get us well. Well, one of the things that the Church says about the sacraments is that they are, in a sense, like that, that they help us to see God's grace and God's love at particular times, at particular moments in our life, and to allow those moments of grace to come when we need them, to come at the appropriate moment and the appropriate time. The sacraments are really a couple of things. I mean, we have that wonderful old definition of sacraments. The sacraments are outward signs instituted by Christ to give grace. But in a very special way, the sacraments are signs of Christ's love for us, given to us at just the time we need it. At just the time we need it. And more than just being odd moments of grace, the sacraments are official. They are official ritual celebrations on the part of the Church. Each of the sacraments, whether it is done in a very public cathedral or basilica or a big church with a lot of music and a lot of ceremony, or whether it's done in a very simple kind of way, each of the sacraments is a celebration of the entire community of the Church. It's official. It's an official statement that God's grace is here present right now when it's needed. And that's another part of the wonder of the sacraments. It's not just hit and miss. It's not just, well, maybe. It's an official designation that God's grace is here and at work right now when it is needed. It's a nice thing to have and a wonderful thing to celebrate. We spoke the last time about the beginnings, about sacraments of initiation, baptism, confirmation, communion, how we mark the beginnings in our lives by three sacraments which help us to begin our life in God. Well, once we begin something, we know how easy it is for us to fall off the path. Have you ever made a New Year's resolution or so where you said, oh, yes, I'm going to do these 85 things in the new year and make my life so much better, and two or three days later, let's see, where did I put that list again? Well, we're like that. We do that. We fall off. We have good intentions and good beginnings, and we fall off. And Jesus knew that. God the Father has always known it. Jesus has always known it, and the Church knows it, too. So they have designated sacraments, which are sacraments of healing and forgiveness. And that's what we have today to talk about. The sacrament of penance and reconciliation, as the Catechism of the Catholic Church talks about it, and the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. So let's talk about those for a few minutes. They're both under the rubric of sacraments of healing. The sacrament of penance and reconciliation is the healing of our souls. The sacrament of the anointing of the sick is also a healing of our souls, but it is focused on the healing of our bodies when we're ill, when we're sick. And so let's look at these movements of grace and see what they are and see how they touch our lives. We, most of us Catholics, speak of, even today, of going to confession, and that's the way in which we often refer in our ordinary parlance to the sacrament that the Catechism refers to, sacrament of penance and the sacrament of reconciliation. We also grew up, most of us, calling it the sacrament of penance. But the custom has come in the time since the Second Vatican Council of referring to this sacrament as the sacrament of reconciliation. Interestingly enough, the Catechism refers to it as both. It refers to it as the sacrament of penance and reconciliation. Now, as a sacrament, remember, it's an outward sign instituted by Christ, and it brings grace into our lives. As a sacrament also, it is a tremendous moment of grace, which makes actual the grace of God in a particular way, to a particular person, in a particular place, but always it's a celebration of the entire community. It's particularly of interest with reference to this sacrament, because although it hasn't always been the case, our ordinary way of celebrating this sacrament today is through individual private confession. So it looks like a private sacrament. It looks like something that was celebrated privately, but it's not. It's always a public celebration. I'll talk about that in a minute, because that's a source of great questioning on the part of people today. Can't you just go and talk to God yourself without having to go through a priest? And well, we'll talk about that, why we do it this particular way, why we celebrate it as a sacrament. There is one other name that is given to this sacrament in the Catechism, and that is the sacrament of conversion. And I'll tell you why in a minute, but we'll throw that one in. You don't always hear that one, but the Catechism uses it, and it's a wonderful name that we probably should use a little bit more than we do. Penance. It's called penance. Because the idea is that when we commit sins, when we fall off the path that we should be on, and whether we do that in a way that is mortal or venial, whether we do that in a way that really separates us from God, or whether we do it in a lesser way, we need in some way to make up for what we have done. It's not enough to just say we're sorry. We have to show that we're sorry, and unless we show that we're sorry, it's just not as real a conversion. It's just not as real a change. And we all know that from dealing with each other. Don't just tell me you're sorry. Show me you're sorry. So we do call it the sacrament of penance. In the olden days of church history, that penance would be very public, and the person would be asked to do public penance for serious sin. We don't really do it that way anymore. Penance in the sacrament of reconciliation is very often a prayer or very often an action, and the Catechism recommends that that action be geared to the thing done. So if we are going around slandering people with a lot of lies and a lot of false gossip, we might be asked for penance to really make an effort to say something very good and very nice about people when we can do it, to be positive about people when we can. That time of penance can be a very, very wonderful time for us, even though it's hard and it's the part we least look forward to. Because penance when we stop to think about it and consider it very maturely, is the thing that can really turn us around. We need flesh and bones on our faith and in our lives. If we just have words, that's not enough. If we just kind of want to make a change, that's not enough. The church knows that and very wisely provides for us in penance the opportunity to do something, very, very special in particular, to bring about the change we want in ourselves. Now, why is this sacrament called Sacrament of Reconciliation? It's called Sacrament of Reconciliation because what it effects and what it signifies is our union with God through God's forgiveness of us and through our saying we're sorry for the things that we have done, which we should not have done, and our reconciliation with each other. And you see, that's the important thing that people often miss. People will often say to me, well, can't I just go into a little corner someplace with God and say I'm sorry and receive God's forgiveness? And the answer is yes. The church has always said that. If you're sorry for your sins and you tell God you're sorry, you're going to receive God's forgiveness. But the church, Catholic Church, continues to say and has always said that is not enough. Because sin is something that is not just done privately between me and God. Nobody else is affected by it. Sin is something that is always done to everyone. Stop to think about it for a minute. Maybe we can understand this a little bit in our society, a little bit better than we used to, because we are a society that thinks a lot about the environment and about pollution. If you think about the sins that you commit and that I commit as setting an atmosphere in the rest of the world, setting an environment in the rest of the world, every sin, whether it's big or little, does something in the rest of the world to make that world less than it should be. It puts a little bit of pollution into the world. Even if I think, oh, it doesn't make any difference, one more lie isn't going to make any difference in terms of the world or what happens. Well, yes, it does. Yes, it does. Because one of the very subtle things that the devil does, that Satan does, is to convince us that these things don't matter. Doesn't make any difference. Nobody will ever know. But more and more, as each of us weakens, more and more, as each of us begins to say that it doesn't matter whether we tell the truth or live the truth or do what we're supposed to do, and pretty soon that becomes an accepted thing. And it's real interesting. We say, oh, well, everybody does it. Everybody's doing it. And pretty soon it doesn't matter anymore what anybody does. And pretty soon we lose our quality of life. And you see, the subtle thing is that it's always, always so imperceptible, this loss of good. Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't seem to matter. It's always this loss of good, so very, very imperceptible. And pretty soon, before you know it, something is gone. Something wonderful and valuable is gone in life that wasn't there before. Have you ever noticed, often enough, how people in families tend to talk to each other these days? My goodness, I would never have gotten away with that lack of politeness. Have you ever noticed in society at large what little courtesy there often seems to be anymore? Just the little pleases and thank yous and nice ways of talking to each other and nice ways of recognizing each other's presence. Well, those disappeared little by little. They used to be there. And little by little they disappeared, and there wasn't any big act of Congress or any big document or declaration or anything that somebody signed that said, we're not going to do this anymore. No. No, those things passed out of society because one person at a time, one occasion at a time, people quietly in the privacy of their own lives and hearts stopped doing the things that were nice. Pretty soon, little by little, we didn't have them anymore. See what I mean? That's why the church insists that we celebrate this conversion, this reconciliation, this penance as a sacrament. The things that I do in my life privately affect the rest of the world even if they only seem very private. And so they need, my conversion needs acknowledgement in the rest of the world. For forgiveness and healing, I'm sorry that what I did had bad consequences for this world. I need to say that. I need to make that part of my conversion. Otherwise, the healing isn't whole. We're not looking at the whole reality, and God always insists that we look at the whole reality. I can't just go sneaking into the confessional and pretend that what I say there doesn't make any difference for outside. So the church insists that we do come to confession and that we do come to the priest and that he, representing both God and the community, forgives us. Representing God's forgiveness, which is really the fundamental forgiveness, and the forgiveness of the community and the chance to make a new start. Now, that is why it's called the Sacrament of Penance and the Sacrament of Reconciliation, and it's why it's also called the Sacrament of Conversion. Conversion. Because what is a conversion anyway? Well, in the old days, when we talk about converts, a person would say, I'm a convert, and that would mean I used to be a non-Catholic, and at some point in my life I became a Catholic. I converted to Catholicism. But nowadays, when we use the word conversion, we mean something much, much deeper than that. We mean a whole turning around of our hearts. That we realize that when we sin, when we do things we're not supposed to do, that it kind of blinds our hearts. See, what I've been saying just in these last few minutes, little by little, imperceptibly, our sins blind our hearts. So that after a while we don't even see that we're sinning anymore, or we get ourselves convinced that what we're doing is really not wrong, and we don't even see the wrong anymore. We just do it, and we become closer and closer to being people who are really evil and really turned away from God, and that's tragic. That's a tragedy of sin. The good people, little by little, one tiny act at a time, finally spill over to become people who get themselves almost totally and sometimes totally turned away from God and gone off in the wrong direction. And so conversion means a turning around of the heart. I'm really saying I am really, really sorry, and I am really, really not going to do this anymore. I am turning back to God. St. Augustine used to talk about the conversio mentis ad Deo, the turning around of the mind to God, and the conversio mentis ad Deo, the turning away of the mind from God. And that's what we do when we sin. We turn the mind away from God. When we come back, we turn the mind back to God, our minds and our hearts and everything else. So, penance, reconciliation, is also the sacrament of conversion. Again, it was prepared for a long, long time. The prophets in the Old Testament taught the people to convert, turn away from sin, turn back, O man, turn away, come back from your sins, and turn back to the God who knows you and loves you and saves you. This conversion and call to conversion is something that's been going on for a very, very long time. And so we're called to this. And we're called to allow the generous and abundant grace of God to heal us. Listen to the words of absolution that the priest uses. God, the Father of mercies, through the death and resurrection of his Son, has reconciled the world to himself and has sent his Holy Spirit upon us for the forgiveness of sins. It's declaring what God has already done in the world. Now we make it particular. Through the ministry of his church, may God give you pardon and peace, and I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We take that action that God has been doing for such a long time, doing it now in his church, and we make it there for you. It's for you. You can turn around. You can change. It's the sacrament of penance, the sacrament of reconciliation, the sacrament of conversion. And also we talk about a sacrament called the anointing of the sick. The anointing of the sick. We all get sick. We all have those times when our bodies just give out in one way or other. And when we get sick, we can often get very depressed. We get feeling lonely. We get feeling down. We get feeling discouraged. We feel that nobody loves us or cares for us. Well, that's why the church creates a communal experience, which says you are not forgotten when you're sick. You are cared for. You are loved. And this is also a sacrament that represents a fact that has been going on all through God's salvation history, that God has always healed people. I mean, after all, the whole promise to send a Savior after we sinned is a promise of a massive healing in the world. And in the early times in the church, people would come to the apostles. They came to Jesus for healing and for help in their times of trouble. So the church provides this communal experience to be able, as a community, to say to people, we care about you. I mean, it's very nice when a friend stops by and says a prayer or gives us a card or a gift or a basket or a flower or something when we're sick. We feel better. We're less alone. But when the whole community of God does it, the whole people of God, and gives us a not only a reminder but an actual present experience of how God wants to do this healing and draw us closer to himself and make us whole in him, wow, what a powerful, powerful experience that is. When the priest says through that anointing again, remember, anointing means love, means outpouring of love. Through this holy anointing, may the Lord in his love and mercy help you with the grace of the Holy Spirit. And may the Lord who frees you from sin save you and raise you up. When the priest says that, he's reminding us of how God has always done this through all the years and eons and centuries of this world, and how Jesus did it, the apostles did it, and how we continue to do it. That healing through prayer is not just kind of something that got discovered in this New Age philosophy that we hear about all the time. It's something that God has been doing since the very beginning of creation, since the time of the fall. He's always been renewing and restoring and healing. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we do it too. We celebrate it too, because God wants it for us. So here's the second stage on the timeline of the sacraments, where the church, in a way that is very official, reminds us of God's care and God's love and God's help for us. Reminds us that God is love and that God wants to deeply and profoundly give that love. Remember I said that back when we talked about God the Father, that God just wants to keep loving and loving and loving and forgiving us and healing us and helping us and doing everything he possibly can to bring that kind of thing into our lives. God doesn't want to hold his secrets back from us. He wants to share them. These two sacraments, the sacraments of the anointing of the sick and the sacrament of conversion or penance or reconciliation, whatever you call it, these two sacraments remind us that God wants to share his secrets with us. And when we're down and when we're far away and when we're like the prodigal son, we're off at the end of the universe, we've lost the secrets. And how we would long to hear the family secrets and the family stories again and be brought back into the fold. It's the same way we feel when we're sick. Often when we're sick, we're quarantined. We're put away someplace by ourselves, and people say, oh, don't get near me if you've got the flu, you know, that kind of thing. We long to be brought back into the fold. We long to feel we belong, that we're part of things again. And both of these sacraments remind us that in God's blessed providence, even the worst of times can be the best of times. That even in those times that look and appear to be the worst of times, God is down there underneath it all saying, remember, I'm telling you another story other than the one you're seeing and hearing right now. I've always been bringing healing love and healing grace and healing power to these situations, and I promise you that I'm going to continue to do it and that I'm going to do it again for you right now. And you know, the neat part is that all we have to do is say yes and come to this. It's freely offered. It's freely given. God so much wants to give it. The church so much wants to give it. And all we have to do is have the courage to come and say yes. When we say yes, we're part of a very wonderful tradition. Because if you just stop to think for a minute of the stories in the Old Testament about the calls of the prophets. Remember, let's just take Isaiah, for example. Isaiah was afraid that he wasn't going to be able to do what the Lord wanted him to do, and the Lord finally had to touch a burning coal to his lips to brand him and get him to do it, and Jeremiah didn't want to accept the call at first, and when the angel Gabriel came to Zechariah, he didn't accept the call at first, and the angel Gabriel came to Mary, and she said yes. She did. What a powerful and beautiful yes that is. How healing her yes has been for us all over the world and continues to be right now and right down to the end of time. Well, God is always saying yes to us. And he loves to say yes. He loves to say yes even when we say no. Because it's his yes that always brings us back. God offers, we say no, God says yes. And he keeps saying yes until we hear it. Until we hear it. Remember, this stuff is about what we hear, hearing the language. We hear God's yes, and we hear how beautiful it sounds. And then we say yes. We come back. We accept his offer of grace and abundant love, and we allow ourselves to heal.
Thank you for joining us today for the Spirituality of the Catholic Church with Father Paul Keenan. You may write to Father Keenan in care of the Office of Communications, Diocese of New York, 1011 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10022.